Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for joining us in tonight's Comic Book Club. Here are your hosts, Pete LePage, Justin Tyler, and Alex Albin.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to Comic Book Club, the only live weekly talk show about comic books. I am Alex.
I'm Justin.
And I am Pete.
And that's our man of the booth, Boothman. And we are very excited because...
Yeah, Comic-Con this weekend.
It is Tax Day.
Tax Day was today.
Very exciting.
Tax Day was today?
Oh!
What?
Fuck.
Yeah, that's what we talked about. We worked out a bit.
Oh, man.
A funny bit where we were going to be excited about Tax Day. We even talked about it.
Yeah, that big government joke, Tax Day. I just did mine in the lobby. That's a true story. That was embarrassing.
Did you write off your comic books?
No, I didn't. I didn't want to. It's too late.
Who here writes off their comic books?
Yeah.
All right.
Research.
Yeah. Exactly. That's what I'm
it's
talking
materials.
About.
Marketing. Yeah. Materials and marketing.
Okay. Nice.
But seriously, it is New York Comic Con this weekend, and we're very excited about it. We are going to be all.
You all
going to
be there?
Who's
going to be there?
Yeah.
Jenna,
nice.
That's who.
Oh wow.
All right. All right.
That really broke your heart with me.
This is yeah.
She's a comic book writer now.
Yeah.
So yeah. Wait till you hear what she has to say.
Should be interesting.
Yeah. Yes, we are talking to Jenna Jameson this weekend, so that should be very exciting. Friday night.
Talking to her. Thursday night. Yeah. Thursday night. Thursday night.
What?
Oh, that's just me. You guys are talking about that.
Oh, man.
All right. Cool.
Jenna Jameson jokes. Oh, boy.
Bob Hope style.
That's great. That's great. You guys... We are knocking this out of the park. Yeah. So let's get to the show. I'm very excited.
Should we get to the show?
I'm very excited because we have three amazing guests here tonight. I'm very proud to introduce them. Ladies and gentlemen, Christos Gage, Robbie Rodriguez, and Tony Lee. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for coming on the show. We're very excited to have you here.
Thank you for having us.
And you are all in town. Well, you live in town. Yes?
Me?
Yeah, you?
No, I live in LA.
Oh, you're all in town for New York Comic Con then.
That's right.
Wow, well, welcome. Wow. Are you all
in our show?
In our show.
Oh, right. Our show.
It's convenient for you to go to
my show. For your show.
Yeah.
It's this weekend.
There's something
actually,
going on this weekend,
this weekend.
But we're here.
Yeah, we'll see if we can get you guys tickets.
Cool, I'll work on that.
Sweet.
We all came for the sofa, but the sofa's gone.
Man, I'm sorry. They chopped up our sofa a couple weeks ago. Very disappointing.
Sad.
And that's our show! Seriously, let's kind of start off with a general question for you guys. I guess we can just go down the line and talk a little bit about how you got into comics. We'll start with you.
I'll go first. I started going to film school. Getting a master's degree in screenwriting, selling some screenplays, writing some bad movies, and some pretty good episodes of Law & Order SVU. And then, you didn't know that?
No. That's the one about
my website before you have me on your show.
We don't even read comic books.
we're hosts.
What, any movies that we would know?
You probably, Teenage Caveman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
that was on like USA Up All Night.
Oh, okay.
News to you.
It's usually on...
You didn't read Pete's fan page?
We don't Wikipedia you. We watch USA Up All Night and see how that relates.
And if it works out, it works out.
It's usually on Cinemax at 3 in the morning.
Yeah,
so, you know, that's that. I'm glad that it was on USA Up All Night.
Yeah. Expanding the brain.
And then a movie called The Breed. Which, see?
Much of a guy as the other one was.
Yeah. Where did I? Oh yeah, and then I happened to meet Jimmy Palmiotti, who you guys might know.
Yeah, yeah.
He introduced me to some folks at DC. I ended up pitching the Deadshot miniseries, and didn't think it would go anywhere. But then I got to write it, and you know, from there I just kept hustling. You know.
And now you're writing like 19 books.
Yeah.
You're quite a hustler.
You know, pimping ain't easy, but it's necessary.
Preach it.
Robbie, let's move over to you. How'd you get into comics?
Was it 21? I met this Irish drunk at an Italian restaurant. He's like, I got this idea about this camp about superheroes. You want to draw? Like, yeah, sir. Go kill me. And then we did our mini comics here, okay?
Wait, this is a true story?
Yes, there you go.
That was a joke. No. An Irishman in an Italian restaurant.
Yes. Yeah. So we did the mini comics here at Hero Camp. Drew Damage, they liked it, they printed up, and then I got more gigs after that.
Cool.
Pretty much.
Awesome. And Tony?
I pretty much lied, cheated, and stole my way into comics.
All right.
To be honest. I mean, I'd written about 15 years in the UK, and I was coming over to New York for some meetings with a couple of agencies. And I decided I was going to get back into comics. I tried in about 20 and utterly failed, as everybody does in the UK. when you're an English writer, the first thing you want to do is write for 2000 AD.
Right.
And you want to do a thing called a Future Shock. You guys have 2000 AD over here, yeah?
Huh?
You write a thing called a Future Shock, and it's great. And it's like 5 pages, start, middle, end, 2 twists, a twist. And everybody wants to write it. You write the best thing ever, you send it in, and you can pretty much guarantee the editor will come back to you and go, this is shit. It's been done on this issue in number 152.
By Alan Moore.
By Alan Moore. And you try, you give up, and you just sit at a corner cry for about 15 years, as I did. And my then girlfriend phoned up 5 years ago this Thursday. Said, you know, we're going to go to New York, and I thought, well, I'm going to be in New York. I'm going to risk it. So I actually phoned, I emailed Joe Quesada at Marvel. Which is really easy because it's like the issue and the surname at marvel.com. And I went, hello, I'm a British writer. I've been writing for 15 years. I'm getting back into comics. I'd like to come and chat to you about doing some comics. I have no wonderful things. I'm seeing DC Comics probably around 4 o'clock, and I'd like to come and see you about 1. So obviously, they're like, oh, bloody hell, who's this guy?
He used the term British writer. That's
well, this
British
is it. We all live in one big house. Why don't they just live in it? And then basically, Teresa Focarile, who at the time was the person sent out to look after these mad people who emailed, sort of said, yeah, okay, you know, send us some stuff. And I sent her some of the stuff I'd actually done. And they said, yeah, well, come and see us about 1 o'clock. To which point, they phoned up DC and got hold of Mike Carlin. I was like, hi, Mike, I'm Tony Lee, I'm a British writer. I'm seeing Marvel at 1 o'clock. And I got to see them, and it was great, because I went to Marvel, and I spent an hour with Teresa. And it was right before Epic. The really good thing that happened. Oh, hang on. but right before Epic came in, we did a few things. We worked a few things out. It was great. And then I went over to DC, bolstered up, and it was great. And I spent an hour with Mike Carlin, going, "Dude, seriously, get out of writing. You really don't want to be a writer in comics at the moment." So it was great, really.
Great development strategy.
Yeah. And I guess we'll go in reverse order now. Tony, what are you working on right now?
at the moment, I'm writing for 2018, funny enough. Nice. I'm doing a 15-part story called Scallad 666, which is kind of like a futuristic prisoner of war story. I'm doing 2 stories for a new comic called DFC, one with Dan Boltwood, who I did Hopefuls with, called The Prince of Baghdad, and one with Bob Guillory, Indie Darling, which is called Spooky School for Girls. and I'm doing a 6-parter with Pierre Guerrero, which is Doctor Who The Forgotten, which is coming out in August from IDW. And it, as I said earlier on, it might sound like I'm doing a lot of stuff at the moment, but this is what Chris Gage calls Wednesday.
Let's see what are you working on? Okay.
Oh, shit. I'm actually God willing, we'll finish Colbert. Just take the answer.
Yeah, just finish COVID.
I was going to say, that sounded rather, that like a threat.
For those who don't know, Robbie is penciling the Tech Jansen series, which is based on a character created by Stephen Colbert.
Yeah.
I'm drawing the rest of all these books right now. I got Maintenance. And a couple other projects we're going to talk about.
Do they know you're doing this?
Huh? Yeah. Of course they know.
I've done this one for you. We've done this already. That's okay.
It's nice. They're like, oh, okay. Doing a literary book with Jason Latour at Image called Almighty, which pretty much imagine Captain America feels Chuck D.
And just to talk about Maintenance for a second, because we've hyped it, I guess, a lot.
We're big hypers.
We're hyped. We're like, yo, Maintenance.
Yeah. I'm very sure.
Right now, I think it's kind of interesting because you guys are in the middle of a story arc, which is something that's a little bit different for you guys, right?
Yeah, it's the first time. We got a lot of complaints like the last time we did it. We all want the same issue. But this is the first story I've actually really developed all the characters. And we actually got a lot of fan mail about it. They love it now.
Yeah. Cool. They hated it before.
Yeah.
They hated it before. Yes.
All your fans hated the book before.
Those 2 people that bought the book, they shit.
And Chris, what about you? What are you working on?
Avenger the Initiative, issue 11 out tomorrow.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then issue 12, like, a week after that, or 2 weeks after that. I'm writing 4 issues of Thunderbolts that tie into Secret Invasion. I am writing, it's been announced, actually, the new Wildcats ongoing series for Wildstorm with Neil Gooch.
Nice.
Drawing, and I'm sure I'm writing some other stuff that slipped my mind.
Yeah, cool. That's tough.
And I think something interesting about what you're doing is that you are sort of straddling the France. I mean, you do a lot of big stuff.
Straddling the France?
What did I say?
No, that's a sexy...
What I do in the privacy of my own home.
I want to know about whether you're straddling the France.
No, I'm straddling the France Thursday night.
Yeah.
That was cool.
The fence between DC and Marvel.
Yeah.
How does that work? How's that working for you?
It's working out well, but do that again. Yeah. it's working out well. I've got plenty of work, and I like the people I'm working with. I mean, I think it was Mark Guggenheim, someone asked, what's the difference between working for Marvel and DC? And really, there isn't much, Marvel does electronic vouchers and DC still does paper ones. I mean, that's like, it's all procedural.
That's bullshit. Fucking bullshit. Marvel versus DC.
It's just all procedural stuff. Like, I mean, working for Steven Wacker at DC was probably about the same as working for Steve Wacker at Marvel. It's who your editor is,
He's everywhere.
He is.
Scroll.
So, yeah. I enjoy it. I get a DC comp box, which is nice. That's the perk of
Marvel.
DC. No, Marvel. Right. Marvel doesn't send comp boxes.
What's a comp box?
A comp box, like once a month.
It's a computer. Wikipedia. You need to read Wikipedia.
Saying for other people that might not know.
I think they could put it together.
Once a month, I get a box containing one copy of everything DC put out, the previous month.
Wow. Pete lives in a comp box.
I wish I did. That would be sweet. You get 3 comics every month?
Yeah.
Tiny place to live.
It's awesome. I love it. At my house, that time of the month is when the comp box comes. So I'm in a good mood that time of the month.
Is that it synced up like that? Yeah. What are we talking about? Let's
move on. Last little thing for you guys. Since you are in for the con, just talk about, I guess, what you're doing there and what you're looking forward to at the con.
Crying, drinking, looking at other writers wanting to kill them. Watching every writer on the planet turn up to a Marvel editor and go, hey, if you've got 10 minutes, I've got this great idea for a Captain America pitch.
Do you have a great idea for
again.
Yeah. Do you have a great idea for a Captain America pitch?
No, he's dead.
Nice.
Thanks. Because I'd like to keep continuity there, editors.
Yeah.
editors
tonight.
I'm doing some signings at the Marcosia stand because obviously Hopefuls came out recently. Yeah. The Eagle Awards nominated Hopefuls, only just, but we managed to get back on the list.
You had to fight.
Yes, that's pretty much it.
Oh wow.
I think I'm signing at Imperium Comics, Trailer Park Terror, because I've had another thing going with them. I'm doing a panel with Andy Schmidt with his comics experience. Well, which is great because we're the panel that's going up against Jenna Jameson and Neil Gaiman. Which is great because let's face it, if you're going to be in the middle of a Jenna Jameson and Neil Gaiman sandwich.
Yeah. Ooh, yeah. Ben there.
Well, I would like to know what Jenna Jameson's comp box would be, though.
It's always full.
You don't get how it works. It's not comped.
I'm really annoyed actually because of all the panels I really want to go and see at New York, the one panel I really want to see is the Kick-Ass Girls in Comics, just purely to see all the people who turn up just to scream at Jenna Jameson.
Dude, we're hosting
that. We're moderating the battle.
Yeah, wow. We're going to be the fanboys that are up there.
I want to see how many female comic creators have blood vessels actually pop.
There's been a little bit of a controversy about the panel. I mean, just people posting online. Yeah. Well, just the fact that we're doing a panel and people are so excited about it, and they're like, that's very controversial.
Yeah. It's all about us, the controversy. Yeah. How do they get those guys? They're so busy and wealthy and good looking.
Yeah, no, that's
That's what you were going to say.
That's all I was going to say.
I'm nervous because it's going to be like a lot of legit people, and then Jenna, and it's going to be like
Jenna.
Is she going to? Is she going to be like talking? Is she going to be talking like she's a big like writer, or is it? Good? I don't know. I'm nervous about how it's going
to
go.
You're just going to have to talk to her. Will she take questions?
I'm sure she would.
I think she takes a lot of things. But
I feel like it's going to get a little weird up there.
Yeah.
So well, it'll be an interesting time for
I have heard that she's a very savvy businesswoman.
Oh, yeah. That,
that's a nice thing to say.
All right, we're going to move on with our first section, which we like to call the stack. Okay, first issue we are going to talk about today is Titans number one by Mr. Judd Winnick. What do you guys think about this issue?
Well, I wasn't that big of a fan of the first. Ooh, sorry. I'm excited to see where this.
Everybody.
Yeah. I'm excited to see where the series goes. I think there's a lot of chance for it. I was just upset that it was like a lot of stupid stuff before anything actually happened. Like it was all like. You know, a day in the life of someone who, you know, it's like...
Well, it's like two panels in the life. That's what it was so weird. It was like, and everyone's naked through a large portion of it.
This was my biggest problem with it, is that you have every single character in the book, with the exception of Raven, was either naked, getting out of bed, or about to take a shower. Across the board, and that's like five or six characters in a row.
Yeah, it's like an early morning...
What I was upset about is it's like, I get to see you doing something stupid, but then you don't show the fight sequences.
Don't get to the fight.
I was like...
In any case, I mean, this issue is reintroducing the, relatively speaking, original, or rather, most popular iteration of the Teen Titans as adults this time, and bringing them back together.
Well, it's funny, we always talk about Green Arrow, Black Canary, another Judd Winnick book, and how good it is. And this book, and everyone's like, Judd Winnick, we hate him. And we're always like, well, you should read it, it's good. And this, you're like... He's so bad in this book. What did we say before?
You're laughing, Tony.
No, I love Judd Winnick's ability to speak British. I would actually like to know what a bumpering is as well, because we don't often say that over there. That's quite good. I've got to say that I quite like this, but I got really confused because I've actually forgotten that there was actually a part one.
Yeah, right.
Because it starts off in like part two, and I'm like, what?
I know, it seems like a misprint.
Issue one, how the hell is it a part two?
There was a Titans East special that happened before this.
But wasn't that purely where they turned up and just basically went, hey, we've got the new Titans, and boom!
They murdered them all.
Yeah.
Ah, no, some of them still like...
Yeah, which I think is, they made such hay about like, we killed them all. And then it's like, well, one died. And then the rest are in the hospital. So, keep track of their status.
And then the rest of them are naked and sunbathing.
It's sometimes it's good, sometimes
that's a very odd scene.
It's a clothing optional hospital that they're in.
Man, healthcare in this country.
All right, would you say pick it up?
Nope.
No. All right, let's move on and talk about another clothing optional.
Oh, we earned that.
Another clothing optional book, Wolverine number 64. What'd you guys think about this?
Well, you had to point out the fact that she was naked, because I didn't really... I just saw...
It's a bad sign
okay,
for you.
This is what's going on, right? So Wolverine is tracking down Mystique, who, as we all know, can change shape, right?
Yeah.
Not everything's a scroll. He gets to the... At the end of the book, he's got Mystique in a corner, essentially, and there's several panels
of... Nobody puts Mystique in a corner.
Yeah. Oh!
Just okay. There we go.
Every show we get a dirty dance about.
Yeah. I mean, you were on top of that, I will say. He said corner, and you were like, ho!
Mystique basically washes her clothes off, and at the end of the book, the last panel is a gigantic panel of her standing naked holding two giant.
All right, well, here's my thing. They don't.
Yeah. It's ridiculous.
Or behind those.
But it's not like she's taking clothes off because she's a shapeshifter. She was just going like this.
She's always naked at the bottom.
Yeah, but. You know, but sometimes she has clothes on. So she was just going like this. I didn't, you know, I was like, maybe she's just smoothing herself out. I don't know what she's doing. But it was just like, you guys were like, she's totally naked. And I was like,
that's
you
not know. How we talk.
Well, I was
like,
come on, Pete.
I'm sure that's how you actually hear us. I like this, except for the end. It builds up to like a blatant, like a Maxim-esque end of this, like, hey, let's fuck this up. Wolverine tracking her down. But I like that they filled in this backstory of Wolverine, like new Mystique. It's kind of a cool arc.
Right. Yeah, yeah, I like that, yeah.
Any of you reading Wolverine at all?
I am, actually. I quite like the fact that that one's been lovingly placed back into its backboarded thing, whereas this has been like, yeah, have this.
Well, there's a difference between my comics and their comics, and I back and forth, because I appreciate the art and the time that people put into comics. So
the time the printer prints them. Pete is going to retire on his collection.
That's right.
By that, he's going to sleep on it on the street.
He's a cop box.
All right, let's move on. Talk about, not to bring this up again, Jenna Jameson, Shadowhunter number 2.
I haven't seen this yet.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
You've seen it.
Kind of a...
It's stuck.
I picked the first one.
That's a little bit of the old Shadowhunter there.
Yikes.
I picked the first one up, and I was like, oh, this isn't bad. It's not what I thought it was going to be. And then the second one was kind of, it went in a completely different direction. It got more TNA, and then it got really weird where she has to decide between her father, who is an evil demon, and her mother, who is an angel. So she decides to kill herself with her own sword. I was like, wow, Jenna Jameson is pro-suicide.
So, can you compare can you compare and contrast this with The Ghost Whisperer, another one of your favorite comics?
They love that show.
This, in case it wasn't clear from Pete's description, it's essentially a battle between heaven and hell type thing.
Yeah.
A girl caught in the middle, and she has secret knife powers.
It's very Witchblade.
It's very much a derivative of a bunch of other things. It's not even necessarily terrible. It's just not very good.
It's just not original.
I would actually say that. I mean, obviously, just quickly flicking through it, I would say it probably isn't that bad, but it's actually scripted by Christina Zed.
Yeah,
right. It's actually quite a good...
She is, yeah.
And obviously, it was created by Jenna Jameson, story by Jenna Jameson, and Christina Zed, and
Craft Services by Jenna Jameson.
So I'm assuming it tends to be like, hey, wouldn't it be great if we had this woman who was just like Witchblade, but wasn't quiet? And then obviously, the thing got done. I like the guy's sword.
Yeah, the art is a little bit
soothing,
but
art's really
it's
good.
Kind of cool.
Yeah.
I also, this is going to be the most ridiculous complaint of the night, so get yourselves ready. But the character clearly, physically, is modeled on Jenna Jameson. She's called, like,
Jezeree Jade,
or something.
That's
like
an awesome name.
Yeah, so she has the initials, but for some reason they've given her brown hair.
There's a twist.
That's how you tell it's not really.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a little.
So she had brown hair.
Wait, your complaint about this comic is that her hair's not blonde?
Yeah, it made me really angry.
They just want you to know it's not Jenna Jameson, like her autobiography.
Oh,
like you may some people. She's a bit of a
which
shadow.
Might have been better.
If I change the color of Jenna Jameson's hair, they are raping my childhood. I just have to say.
Wow!
Jenna Jameson actually raped your childhood.
Yikes!
All right, I'd say touched it inappropriately.
All right, let's move on to talk about the latest issue of Justice Society of America, number 14. Clearly, you guys like it a lot. What did you guys think?
I think it's great. I'm really impressed with how many characters there are in this. And it doesn't seem very...
There's actually a new character in every single panel in the entire book. They keep adding more and more characters.
Yeah.
Well, I don't buy every single panel. I think that's
every
crazy.
Other panel.
Okay, yeah. But, I'm impressed by the way this... there's so many people in it, yet it doesn't seem jumbled. And I'm always, like, afterwards, I'm like, oh, this is good. I'm never like, this is too much shit. Like, a lot of DC books, sometimes I feel is just like... there's so many people and so many different things that you may or may not know about that you sometimes feel a little lost, but in this one it seems to hold my attention.
Well, I think what's done well in this book is every detail, like every story detail is really like understood and planned for. And so that's why he is able to support so many characters in here and have them all be a part of the story. Plus it fits into the larger DC continuity, which is, again, harder.
Yeah. It's just a very, very solidly well-done book. It's well-written, it's well-drawn. It's just a great package altogether, I would say.
Nice. All right. Are you guys reading this?
I can't read.
that's why you draw.
Yeah.
I actually liked it, because the big thing about this one was the fact it was actually a sand story. And one of the things when JSA first turned up, when he first, when Jeff first started doing it, he brought back characters and sort of started building on this path. And in this one, he finally starts showing you what he wanted to do from the start, which I actually really like because he's one of my favorite characters. So
It's sort of like Pete was saying that there's so many different characters in this book, but he finds time for every single one of them, which is pretty incredible. So.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on and talk about the ever-controversial Amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Hey, Justin, let's hear from you first.
Justin.
I like this. I think it's, and I have not been as angry about the whole thing, the whole reboot and all that.
Because you don't have a soul, that's why.
That's true. I traded it. This, though, is starting to really be like an interesting story. Chris Bocciolo's art really helps.
Yeah, okay, how is this an interesting story? The story is that it's snowing in New York and Spider-Man doesn't have a jacket.
Imagine that.
Classic Spider-Man story.
Yeah.
I mean, he's talking to a bum who is standing next to an oil drum that's on fire.
Do you remember Stanley Jack Kirby, the story, it's summer and Spider-Man has a jacket.
Yeah, and it's like, why? It's so hot.
Get his jacket off.
It was a great run. It's a 12 issue.
You guys are making fun of it. That's the goddamn story in this comic.
That is not the story.
What's the story?
The bum teaches him a very important lesson.
Yeah. The Yankees jackets are not worth keeping.
Oh! Watch yourself, Gage. Watch yourself.
Nice.
I agree with Justin.
Oh, no, that's the paper, basically. This is the lesson the bum taught him, is that you can pad up your spider costume to look really fat. But then one punch from a demon Mayan thing, and it all goes, look, see?
That's classic bum knowledge.
Thin. Fat. Thin.
It's like Rick Grimm.
It's great. You guys like watching comic book professionals.
Yeah.
The art from Chris Bocciolo though is incredible in this book. It definitely, it's a little weird reading a Blizzard right now, and I know that's kind of the point, although I think the production schedule shifted it or something that. But it's they leave the sides of the panels off, the pencil thin lines around the panel, so it leaves it white and open. So whenever there's these gigantic Blizzard panels with a tiny Spider-Man walking through it,
it's so cold. He's so cold.
Wait. Are you saying that because it's nice out, that the fact that it's winter in that comic bothers you?
Yeah.
Wow.
And think of all the brown-haired people in that comic. Oh, it's disgusting.
It's weird. We've got to talk about Brits.
Don't look in the mirror, man. I'm just warning you.
I don't have mirrors in my place. Would you recommend picking up Amazing Spider-Man? Well, what do you guys think about the whole Amazing Spider-Man thing of right now?
I'll tell you what I think.
Yeah!
I think, when people ask, what do you think about Amazing Spider-Man, what they really mean is, what do you think of One More Day?
Right.
And my answer is, you don't know yet. If you asked me in Captain America number 7, was it a good idea to bring back Bucky, I would have said no, it was ridiculous. Who brings back Bucky? Well, guess what? It was a great idea because some really great stories have come out of it. Yes. A year from now, if we've had a year of great stories, it was a good idea. If we've had a year of bad stories, it was a bad idea.
Okay, but let me just throw this at you, right?
Careful, this is in Pete's heart right now.
No, I'm just saying, for me, the hard part was, Spider-Man, has always been a guy who's tried to do the right thing, tried to, do what is right because he's a superhero. And when you're offered a deal by the devil, everyone knows that's not a good idea.
But everyone always does.
Shut up. So my point is, it was just really hard for me to buy in the fact that Spider-Man was like, okay, yeah, I should make a deal with the devil. Because he's a goddamn devil, and you know he's not going to keep his end of the deal.
He's
or
gonna
vice
ask you if you want $1 million.
Too late, it's gone.
Good. Shut up!
No, wait. If the devil appeared to you and said, Pete, I will let you put Spider-Man back the way it was. If.
No, it's the goddamn devil! You don't make deals with the devil!
Wait, what if he was like, I will put Spider-Man back the way it was if, in return, I give you thousands of free comics? What do you take?
My point is, you don't fucking make a deal with the devil. Yeah, you did, and it's just, that's a dumb idea. It's a dumb idea.
He
that's
seems
why
happy.
Make a deal with
yeah,
him.
He seems happy.
Cool.
Oh. That's in my
very cool. You know, see, well, God, you devil. George Burns was the devil, and he was God. You know, and everything worked out fine.
Great movie reference.
I love that.
George Burns.
You should do more movies.
I should. Because you like Teenage Caveman. So
I was a big fan. I was a big fan.
Wow. All
right, we're going to move on. Talk about FX number 2 with art by John Byrne.
Yeah!
You are stupid.
I can't argue with that.
All right, what did you guys think about this issue?
This is just fantastic. Oh. So great. I just like the fact that it's a little bit old school with a little bit of new. It's got the classic, like, punching people, like, bam!
The classic punching people.
Well, no, you know, the old school, like,
it's got, like, the classic punching people, the newfangled talking with words.
Yeah. No, you know what I mean. Talk about the goddamn sound effects, you know, the old school Batman sound effects.
The sound effects of this book. I will say, okay, first of all, I actually kind of enjoyed this book a little bit, which I was very surprised about. The sound effects are totally out of control.
Yeah. I love it. I love it.
It's
fun.
Insane. It's literally every single panel is like, blah, 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 blah.
Well, they're fighting.
Everybody's sound effects. It's like panels filled with snicks, snicks, snicks.
Sound effects have never been cool for me. It's like, I know what's happening. I can see him punching him. Why do I need the sound? It's not like I hear the sound.
You see, you guys don't understand the process from the inside.
All right, yeah, here we go. Here we go.
I've studied this seriously.
Sorry, they imagine put a sound effect of a person putting a plate on the table.
Yeah, wobble. It's
like,
a wobble.
That's
sound
what I'm
out of control. Okay, process.
You look at Thunderbolts. Warren Ellis doesn't use a lot of sound effects. He just has, like, you see the explosion. It's what you were saying. You see the explosion. But then, like, what he does use when it's Venom chewing up someone's bones, and it goes trop, which is C-H-R-O-P-P, which is just a great sound effect.
Yeah.
I tried doing that once, and it sucked. I couldn't pull it off. There needed to be sound effects, because otherwise you're like, wait a minute, why is there no sound? This dude just got slammed into a building. Why is there no sound, you know? So the moral of the story is, British people can get away with not doing sound effects, and that only British people.
In Venice, we spend most of our time working out the perfect sound effect. If you look at the average British person's script, it's purely based around one page with a massive splash and a great sound effect. You work back from the sound effect. Seriously, we all live in this big comic house. And regularly, we run around going, have you got this one? It's this explosion. Kaboom! Nah, kaboom's crap. Let's have kaboom! And it builds up, and then we can shoot each other.
I will say, actually, not to back up too much, but Wolverine, there was an incredible sound effect in here where Wolverine pulls his claws back into his hand and it goes to Kinnis, which is kind of
nice.
Yeah.
It's a backwards snake, I get it.
Yeah.
Anyway, this book, though, is boring. You're talking about the newfangled touches. It's like he's like, look at my iPod. And you're like, oh, I get it. You're like, it's new. And which is, the story
no,
is so
no,
old.
There wasn't a point where he goes, look at my...
Yes, he's on his iPod. He's like, oh, my
no,
phone is broadcasting
sound,
images.
Sound effect that went, iPod.
There's nothing new about this story. This is all boring.
It's reason. Not. It's, I'm not. I'm going to give it. It's a kid getting powers. That's not new. But what I love the way it's drawn. I feel like it doesn't... it would be great if all things had new ideas and stuff, but it's like, if it's an old idea, but if it's done well, with a good tone and a good voice and fun, you know, like this, it works. With the drawing and the way it sounds and is made,
sound.
The sound effects work. Okay. And,
I,
so,
well, I'm curious.
That
you're
makes
you're
a good comic. It doesn't have to be all new ideas.
The book.
I enjoyed it. You know, I thought it was fun. I mean, it's kind of old school, fun, but it wasn't. You know, there isn't a lot of like deconstructing the superhero, archetype.
There's none of that. In fact.
You know,
there doesn't have to be in there.
But
I'm not saying there should be.
It's a fun book, you know. I mean,
but I just want to know why I should be reading this book above any other superhero book.
You should, because
it's done.
You should be reading my books.
Now we're talking.
I'd rather settle.
What the heck?
We actually
relaxed.
Okay. Sushi Buji?
Yeah, totally.
What the?
It's a movie.
Wow. Thanks for taking the show down with awkward hand touching.
All right, let's move on. Talk about the Punisher. We're getting into Garth Ennis's last arc.
All right.
Nobody.
Is that sarcastic, Slack?
No, I was trying to get the crowd going.
Where's the slow class?
Yeah.
Come on. What did you guys think about this issue?
Well, it's exciting for me, being a Punisher fan, that Garth is doing such a great job. like, with story-wise and with the Punisher, which, you know, typically people think is kind of like a joke. But he's really doing some great story and some great writing that brings other people on board and be like, hey, this is really well done.
It is. I like this. It's a great arc. It's finally... it's kind of. I think this is kind of saying, here's Punisher's weakness. He won't, like, kill military people.
Yeah.
And so it's an interesting way to explore.
It's like his kryptonite.
Yeah. It's an easy kryptonite to find.
Right. I actually really like this book. I mean, the Punisher Max series is excellent pretty much across the board. This particular issue, I would say, was not my favorite of the run, which is a little disappointing coming in the last arc. I would say in particular because the last couple of arcs have been very, very intense and over the top and excellent. And this one is a little bit of a letdown for me.
Well, they're like, we got this great scheme. And then, like, the first thing happens, the Punisher's like, gotcha. And they're like, don't shoot us, please. Don't do it.
Pretty
and
much.
Then,
yeah.
I mean, so it's like, well, probably. Should have tried a little.
I enjoyed that part.
Yeah.
Have you guys been reading this series?
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, Garth Ennis can do no more, so I'm 100%.
He also, I mean, I always get the feeling when he's writing war stories that that's where his heart and his passion really is, and I think it comes through. I really enjoyed this issue.
I mean, to be honest, when Punisher, when everybody first saw it, said, oh, Garth Ennis is going to be Punisher, at the time, he was like some kind of avenging angel who, like, was, I don't know, he had wings and shit. I lost track of what was going on, so many people did different things. And Garth took him right back to his roots, and since then, he's just not let me down on every single issue he's brought out.
Yeah. It's great. Definitely pick it up.
Yeah.
All right. Another thing that we are going to highly recommend is Lock and Key number 3 by Joe Hill, the son of Stephen King, which sounds like
scary. Scary. That's
scary.
Son of Joe Hill, the son of Stephen King. Right.
Son of Stephen King. Yes. What do you guys think about this issue?
By the way, you know Joe Hill's first comic book work?
What?
Spider-Man Unlimited.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
That's
cool.
It's a good fun fact.
Yeah.
What did you guys think about Lock and Key?
It's great. It's one of those, like the first issue really I wasn't like that excited about. There was a lot of hype behind it, but it's really just setting a story and building where it's really well done and well written, and it's funny, and it's also dealing with like the kids and not just kind of like the scary stuff.
It's very well paced. The story of it is that there's this, this family, their dad is murdered at their house, and so they have to go and live in this creepy mansion. But once you're past that kind of that trope of it, like, it's great. It's really well paced, and it treats the reader like as an intelligent person. And it's like, just watch it, and you'll see what happens. You don't have to. They don't explain everything.
Yeah,
to you.
It's really wonderful also because he finds real moments of humanity in it.
Yeah.
These are actually really well fleshed out characters, which is kind of incredible. And he gets them across in both simple and broad strokes at the same time. This is...
Yeah,
you can give it.
Don't even think about it. but my favorite moment of this specific comic was, there's a room where you go in and you die, and then you can, like, fly around as a ghost. And it's funny because they show this kid, and he's just laying there in this, like, dead pose, and then it's like... You know, you're thinking like, oh God, what if the sister walks in? And the sister does walk in, you're like, oh crap, she's going to freak out. But like a typical teenager, she's like, knock it off! And she starts kicking him, his dead corpse. It is hilarious. She's like, knock it. And then he flies back and comes back to life. But
I
really
hope I never die around you.
Yeah. Lucky for you, I'm not a teenage girl.
Lucky for all of us.
And that's it for the stats. All right, it is time for my next section, which is my favorite section because it's the section you guys make up. It's your audience questions, and for that, we're going to bring out Booth Man.
Booth Man!
Yeah!
All right, buddy. Don't bite. All right, so here's some audience questions.
Sweet.
Number one, will the animated Batman movie detailing the events between Begins and Night be cool? What do you think?
Yes.
Yes.
Because Kevin Conroy is voicing the Batman.
Ah. 2 weeks?
Yes. For those of you who don't know, 2 weeks from now, we are going to have Kevin Conroy on this very show.
Whoa. We're going to make him say all sorts of stuff.
Yeah.
We're going to basically trick him into saying Batman as many times as possible. It's great. Are you guys looking forward to this? Have you heard about this? Have you read about this?
Okay, so the actual movie, or are you guys having Kevin Conroy?
What do you think about making people say stuff? Isn't that a great pastime?
We are having Kevin Conroy on the show. Yes. So Batman Gotham Knight is essentially, it's a linked series of six webisodes that are probably going to be released on DVD at some point that are done in a almost a manga kind of style, manga anime kind of style, that...
It's very similar to the Animatrix.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And each one has a different director, each one has a different writer, but they have a linked story that essentially bridges the gap between Batman Begins and The Dark Knight.
It's a cool idea. I mean, they do this kind of stuff a lot now. It just depends on how good the stories are.
Yeah.
Linking them together.
The thing that I feel a little weird about with it is that they're bringing in people like Clayface, Killer Croc, things like that. They're not necessarily doing in the movie, which I feel like is almost antithetical to what they're trying to do by making it very human, real world, relatively real world.
Yeah, it's weird to be like, I just bought Clayface, now I'm watching the Joker be born here.
Yeah.
I think that is a weird choice.
It would be weird to watch the Joker be born.
You'd probably
kick
you do? You would kick. What's the next question?
I'm so glad I'm right the other end of the stage.
He's playing a lot of female. He's playing women a lot.
This one's for Chris. When will you write a regular Marvel series?
It ain't up to me.
If it was up to you, what would you write?
That's a tough call.
Thunderbolts.
Okay, Thunderbolts. I would love to write Thunderbolts. You know, if it were actually up to me, it would be like Shogun Warriors versus Godzilla, but... and it would be ongoing. Like, every month, they would just fight. you know, it's tough to say. Now I'm on the spot. I've got... The lucky thing, I've gotten to write so many characters that I love, and I'm just happy. But you know what? Quite honestly, if I could write any book monthly, it would probably be Captain America, but not until Edward Baker's finished, because I think he's doing an amazing job.
Yeah, he's really pulling it out of the water.
What about the rest of you guys? Let's just open this up a little bit. Robbie, if you could draw any book.
Godzilla.
I think we got a team.
Yeah!
Tony.
I know
what
I'm
talking
about. How I love Godzilla, just to poach him now. I always wanted to write the Nick Fury. Nick Fury, and I've wanted to write him. And when I actually first went to Marvel, I actually pitched like 20 different Nick Fury things. And I'd made the really sort of idiot mistake of believing that the Garth Ennis Fury story was actually liked by Marvel. And I was like, oh, this is a great idea, but this happened. And I'm like, no. And I was like, okay, fine. But I'd kill to do it, but obviously now, with the is he or isn't he things happening, you don't know what's going to happen with it. But I would have. Or I would have done something like off the wall. I'd love to do like an Alfred the Butler series.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. You know, I mean, the guy's like had so many different retconned ideas.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, like, depending on whether you watch the TV shows or read the comics, etc., you know, he's a butler, but he's also been a spy, he's been an espionage.
Yeah.
You know, this guy is the butler to Batman, for Christ's sake. You know, he knows everything. I'd just love to have him thrown into something really sort of. Kind of like a Harry Palmer kind of spy type thing, like with Alfred the Butler.
He is a badass butler.
Fighting Godzilla.
Yeah. you guys should talk. All right, let's get the next question.
All right, who do you think is a Skrull? Guess who asked that question?
I think that guy.
Pete? Well, I hope that it's Iron Man, because he's been acting like a douchebag. I hope it's not Wolverine, just because I'm a big fan. But I don't really have any, there isn't someone that I'm like, oh God.
What about Luke Cage versus Jessica Jones? Because I think it's pretty obvious one of them is going to be a Skrull.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think both of them are Skrulls, and also their baby is a Skrull, and they're all going to find out they're Skrulls. They'll be like, oh, this is totally fine.
And then they're going to kill the baby, right?
Yeah, then they're going to...
What? You're off the
board. You're telling me if you found out your baby was a Skrull, you wouldn't kill
no,
him?
No, I'd be like, do something funny.
Yeah, change it to something.
Do something funny. Change it to a shoe or something.
Your children are going to be weird.
I think it's funny if people change it to shoes.
I'm going to reveal how much of a geek I am. I don't think the Luke Cage, Jessica Jones baby is a Skrull, because... When Johnny Storm in Fantastic Four was married to a Skrull and she got pregnant, she had an egg.
Ah,
yeah,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. I feel like they kind of ignored that.
You have been an egg.
Yeah, Bork.
Bork is a Skrull.
Yeah.
Have you guys been following the whole Skrull thing?
Any theories?
Yeah. I actually know most of them.
Oh, cool. Ooh.
So where they are.
Wow, way to lord that over us.
Yeah.
Skrullo jacket.
What?
Skrullo jacket is the yellow jacket.
Oh,
no,
right.
Skrullo jacket. Yeah. He's already been revealed.
Right.
And yeah. So, and Alfred, another butler.
Yes.
Jarvis.
Whoops. Whoa, it's a Skrull? Shit, that's my next one.
Cross your mouth.
Oh, yeah, here we go. Tony, why are Americans better?
Wow.
I'd like to thank Neil Clyde for that question.
What?
Okay. Actually, I can't just actually. Apparently, you guys are great. I flew
out.
You
can
out
answer
today.
Any of your questions.
I flew out today because obviously they put American Airlines flight. And I booked a while back because American Airlines, you can obviously book online. You go, oh, I'd like this seat here, please. And I knew it was a long flight, so I had an aisle seat. It was number 31C. Painfully attentive, but number 31C. And I got to 31C, and there was this woman sitting there. And I was like, oh, hello, sorry, I think you're in my seat. And she was like, oh, no, I don't think so. And I was like, well, actually, what about? I don't think so. And I was like, I think you actually are. And we had this kind of amusing banter for a little bit. And then her husband came over, and I was like, no, honestly, you are in 31C. Look, you know, this says here, 31C. This isn't 31C. No, it's written on the chair there. It says 31C. And basically, there was this long-winded thing where basically the husband was like, well, look, there's a cock-up. Look, can I sit with my wife? You can sit in my seat. It's over the other side. I was like, okay, fine, as long as it's on an aisle seat. No, it wasn't. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to ask this back. I really do want an aisle seat. And then we discover that actually she's not supposed to be in 31C, she's actually in 32C. And well, that was an amusing joke then. And this is honest to God truth. And she actually went and sat behind. And as I went to sit down, she loudly said, you see, and it's things like that. Oh, the exact quote was something along the lines of, and you expect a lot more respect to consider the fact that we pulled you out of two world wars.
Oh. Wow. It's a valid point.
And I said, well, actually, I obviously thought it was a lot more respect than the fact that your education is so retarded you couldn't tell the difference between 31 and 32.
Well, that's it. Next four, they are on their own.
Yeah. I say, Americans are, was it a better?
Sure.
Yes, better. Americans are much better at making sure they get the right airplane seat.
And that's your audience question. Yeah. Right, it is time for our next section, which is trivia, and for that we're turning it over to Pete LePage.
All right!
Thanks for coming, Ryan.
Hey.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this is the part where we give back to you, the lovely audience. We have a $25 gift card to Midtown Comics. All we need is a volunteer. Yeah, there we go. I didn't even get the full spiel out, and he was already into it. Sweet. I'm that good of a salesman.
Yeah.
No, I'll stand right here.
You can sit here every week.
My fault.
Your deal is you like Wolverine and Punisher, and you hate babies.
Yeah. You want to be a teenage girl.
Go sit down.
Maybe, yeah.
Okay, here we go. So how it's going to work is you have three questions, and for each question, you're going to hear three possible answers. Make sure you're listening to them all, then pick the correct one. If you get all three right, $25 a year. That's right. It's a lot of pressure. So today's questions are going to be about the comic maintenance for no particular reason, other than we love the comic. It's a nice comic. All right, anyways, here we go. Question number one. Doug and Manny are janitors at what company? Is it A, Terror Max Inc., B, Terror Corp. and Friends, or C, Exxon Mobil?
That's A.
Yeah! Wow! One for one.
Comic stuff.
Yeah. That guy.
This guy.
All right, here we go.
Let it happen. Just be, let it happen.
Just be, just let it.
No,
Bring out your heartbeat.
No.
Feel it. No.
Fuck you, Boothman. All right, here we go. Question two. Terramax Inc. is said to be the world's biggest and best A, experimental science institution, B,
evil science think tank, or C, sketchy nightclub to the stars?
That's B.
Yeah! Wow. This guy's amazing. 2 for 2. All right, here we go. The love interest of one of the main heroes works as A, receptionist, B, lab assistant, or C, dream weaver. So it's either A, receptionist, B, lab assistant, and we all know it's not dream weaver.
Listen to the music for a second.
Just let's relax.
So it's either A or it's not B.
Maybe it's A.
Yeah! 3 for 3. $25 are yours. Get the hell out of my seat. Thanks, man.
We're going to take a quick moment.
No.
Yeah.
No. Why can't you open your heart?
No.
All right, I guess we this is very weird. So, as we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day.
Yeah.
We recommend you head off to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor our show. What are you guys looking forward to?
Keith? feel the dead air then, man. Oh, yeah,
look at it. What are you guys looking forward to? Tony, I guess we'll start with you.
Well, I'm actually quite surprised because I didn't realize actually the collected Midnight Kiss was actually coming out tomorrow. Midnight Kiss is a comic I did a couple of years ago, which I thought was out last year. So it's quite surreal to find it's actually coming out tomorrow.
It takes a while to get over here.
Which is good, because it's just in time for the Comic Con, which means I'll be able to sign it at the Marcosia booth. also, I mean, I'm looking forward to Starship Troopers number 8. I used to write Starship Troopers number 8. When I became group editor of Marcosia, I actually fired myself because I actually found a better writer. And the guy who's writing it, Cy Deflin, is brilliant, and it's the final part of his four-part arc. And if you haven't read any of Starship Troopers, I seriously suggest you start on issue 4 and buy the 4, because this guy knows his stuff. And it's leading into a two-part, triple threat event comic, which is being written by myself, Cy Deflin, and Christian Berenick, who, funnily enough, is also releasing Willow Creek number 1.
Yeah.
And Willow Creek number 1 is going to be absolutely incredible. And when I've finished pimping my friends, I will actually say that Hellblazer as well, I'm looking forward to.
Cool. Nice.
Oh, nice.
Robbie, what about you?
You want to list anything Grant Morrison writes? Looking forward to.
Cool.
He's the only thing I read.
He's crazy.
He speaks one of you.
Wow. Surprising.
Yeah,
it's
surprising he even knows people. And Robbie,
he's
what
seen
you?
Him across the road with the night bubble.
What do you have coming up?
Coming up, I should have Maintenance Issue 10. Should finish our long run coming out in the next couple of weeks or so. And Tick Jansen in July.
Yeah.
Nice.
Chris?
I'm looking forward to Avengers the Initiative number 11, as I already mentioned.
KIA.
KIA, baby. And I am also looking forward to Incredible Hercules, because I'm all about love for the Greeks, you know. I actually think it's a great book. Suicide Squad 8. There was something else, Captain America. I'm just looking forward to a whole bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good one. So you have Avengers the Initiative is coming out tomorrow. What else do you have coming up?
Avengers the Initiative 12, very soon after 11.
Cool.
And then I've got a bunch of trade paperback collections coming out around now. Wildstorm Armageddon, Civil War, What If Civil War, and House of M Avengers. And then what else have I got coming up? The new Wildcat series, and Man With No Name from Dynamite. And that's what I think.
Sweet.
A vacation. Thunderbolts. Yes. Thunderbolts, Reason and Madness, starring Norman Osborn. And Venom, which was a lot of fun to write because they're both incredibly batshit crazy.
I'm looking forward to Fear Agent is coming out tomorrow. Great. Awesome, awesome book. Can't say enough nice things about it.
I'm going to pick up X-Men Divided We Stand.
What?
That's controversial, right? Because I think it's going to be good.
What do you mean you think? You know.
I already read it.
You already read it.
It is good. No, it is good.
All right.
It's 50% good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to Captain America and also Hero by Night, which is a really cool series that's just getting going.
Awesome. Cool. A couple of things to plug before we go. First of all, next week on the show, we are going to have guest Chris Claremont. He's going to be here, which is pretty cool. Very excited about that. Also, you can check us out three times a week at pulpsecret.com, P-U-L-P-secret.com. Also, we are going to be at Comic-Con, as are these guys, pretty much all weekend. Things we're going to be doing, we're going to be doing six short shows with special guests on the Variant stage. Last week we told you Jonathan Latham will be there. We can't tell you the rest of the guests yet. No, totally secret.
Oh, man.
Yeah,
tell me sometime.
No, I'll tell you guys later. But we are going to have some awesome guests. You won't want to miss that. Also, we are going to be in the Newsarama skybox looking over the floor of the con.
Spitting on you.
Yes, interviewing like pretty much everybody coming through the con, so that should be pretty cool. And Pete and the rest of us are going to be wandering around the floor.
Yeah.
Totally lost. okay. There's a couple of people I want to thank. We want to thank Chris for being on the show. Yeah! Thank Rocky for being on the show.
Yeah!
Thank Tony.
Yeah!
And most of all, we want to thank you guys. We're here every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Please tell your friends. Good night!
Thanks, everybody!